I'm delighted now to welcome to the show Rick Carver. He's a photojournalist and executive producer of the book A Year or So in the Life of New Mexico, an uncensored look at life in the land of enchantment, and Stacy Pearl, who is one of our KSFR producers and also the writer for almost all the essays in this book. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Thank you. It's nice to be here.
So this book is conceived of as, among other things, a benefit for Esperanza Shelter. How did that come about?
About 10 years ago, I retired myself as a photojournalist, and I hung up my cameras. About 4 years ago, I got the bug to take up photography again, and it was about that time that I hatched this idea of producing a book. And after a lot of soul-searching, we came upon an idea of doing a book about life in New Mexico and benefiting Esperanza in particular.
And so the photographs, was that where you started? You solicited photographs from basically anybody who wanted to take them?
I went around and did a lot of recruiting. I found a lot of photographers. The idea initially was anybody with a camera could take part in this project and submit photographs for possible publication in the book. And we ended up with 53 photographers.
And one of the criteria was they did not have to be professional photographers. We just wanted a commitment from them to photograph for an entire year, not just to have one photo in their repertoire, but to really commit to what their view of New Mexico looked like and then share that with us.
What an interesting project for somebody, whether they be professional or amateur, to engage in is say, okay, I'm going to take pictures of my view of New Mexico.
It's a great goal, and I think a lot of people got really excited about the idea that just with their simple tools, with their, you know, perhaps instant digital camera, they could have a published photograph in a book that would stand for something they could be proud of.
And so you had to recruit, basically, if this is going to be a book about New Mexico, people from all over the state.
That's exactly it.
How'd you do that?
I went to a number of the colleges that still have photography programs, like Santa Fe Community College and New Mexico State down in Las Cruces. And that was the initial way of recruiting photographers or students in photography who would be their first opportunity to get published.
And then we also went to photo stores, and we also went through professional photographers and asked them to connect to friends. And we used sort of the friends network. We used social media to connect to people, say, are you interested in New Mexico? You're taking photos? We want to see them.
And so you must have then gotten 5 gobzillion photos.
It was somewhere around 5,100.
Oh, okay. And so then you had to go through a very rigorous process of editing.
That was, for me, it was one of the hardest things to do, is to go through all those images and select what ended up being about 400 pictures for the book.
Now, did you start with the various categories in the book? For example, you've got nature and heroes and all sorts of things, treasures and helping hands and military and environment and rodeo. Did you start with those categories, or did the photograph suggest them?
From the beginning, the book, the whole project evolved as an ongoing, just an ongoing thing that just kept growing and growing. We wanted to publish a book that described the beauty of New Mexico, plus some of the issues involving all of us who live here, including DWI and homelessness, et cetera, et cetera.
So we did have a basic list of categories that we expected to cover. However, the photos developed in different ways. So, for instance, I don't think we were aware at the beginning what an important part the rodeo would play. We were unaware what a big part of New Mexican life that was on both professional, college, and young adult level.
And so, on Indian reservations. And
right. You know, for a lot of people, I mean, that was one of my more fascinating interviews because we went to the rodeo and I interviewed a lot of the bull riders, and I hadn't realized that for them, this was their only option. A lot of these guys grew up on the ranch. Their parents had done well. They had no other job skills. And this was like the big golden ring. There are guys on that rodeo tour who've earned $1 million. And so it was really fascinating to see that whole part of life, which I frankly didn't even know existed in New Mexico. So we covered that quite extensively.
Yes, and one of the beauties of this book is discovering all these photographs by all these different people. And I mean, you've put an uncensored look. What did you mean by that?
When I recruited for this book, I said that there would be absolutely no censorship. No subject matter would go untouched. Anything was on the table.
So it didn't have to all just be chilies and pueblos.
Not at all.
I think we've got that covered. I think there are many books
you
that have been
published.
You think
there's a few other books about those
I think
things?
There's one or two that cover the beautiful hand-painted mailboxes on Canyon Road, and they're lovely. But we felt like life here is, I mean, true diversity is so much more complex, and the problems are so intense in this state. It's a very difficult place for a lot of people to make a living, and it has so many cross-cultural references. And we thought no one ever talks about that, you know.
Except on this show, we
except
talk about
you do, of course. But I mean, in terms of like books about New Mexico,
yeah.
You know, the hunger issue, the DWI issue, are things that affect more people's lives than the gorgeous sunset.
Right.
So we felt that was really our niche that we could, and there are a lot of people who are very concerned about those things and wanted to photograph them.
So one of the things that you have, well, let's start with the very beginning. It's sort of funny that it starts with a kind of archaeology, the ruins of New Mexico, but a lot of the ruins are 20th century ruins, broken gas pumps and buildings that are completely abandoned and eaten out by weather, but they're still there and you can just barely make out what they are.
We're really blessed in New Mexico having a lot of really good photographers, and every time we go out looking for things to photograph, we find those beat up mailboxes and the rundown gas stations, and New Mexico's got a lot of that, and they're a good fodder for a good photographer.
They're so poetic. those moments on the road are so poetic.
They really are.
Yeah.
And you also have a section on big coal and basically the damage that the pollution is doing to our state and particularly people on the Navajo Reservation.
Yes, and we were fortunate enough to get a very accomplished writer, Mary Beath, to write that piece of text. She is an environmental expert and a photographer and an artist. And she was very interested in covering that for us, and so she wrote that essay.
We're talking to Rick Carver and Stacy Pearl about the book A Year or So in the Life of New Mexico, an uncensored look at life in the land of enchantment. Now, this actually took more than a year to put together, I take it.
Probably 2.5 years, I think.
It's because Rick can't say no to anyone.
Yeah, I can't
All
say no.
Along the process, when we kept having a cutoff date, someone else would say, oh, I didn't know about this. I'd love to participate. And Rick would say, of course, start taking pictures.
Right.
So that's sort of the nature of our time frame.
Well, and it worked out so well because the pictures are, I've never quite seen a book like this. They're spectacular and they're dramatic, but they're expressive in a lot of different ways. And there they are all next to each other. And each one has, I mean, they're, some photographers have more than one photograph in there, but there's a really wide variety of people.
And one of Rick's goals was that pretty much everybody who submitted photos has at least one photo in the book.
Right.
So nobody was left out. Because it's a lot of work for somebody to take photos for us. And they did this out of kindness. Nobody was paid for anything. And so we felt the least we could do is at least include one. But some of the photographers submitted hundreds of photographs, one photographer. And so we included as many as we thought were excellent, and there were quite a few.
There's a place called the Wildlife West Nature Park.
In Edgewood. Owned by Roger A. Link,
yeah.
A very nice gentleman. And all the wildlife over there are rescued wildlife from somewhere around New Mexico.
It's a beautiful spread about him and about these animals in the book and gives you a sense of yet another person who is giving their life in this way that is understated and important and beautiful all at the same time.
He was an amazing man. It was so great to interview him. He was so kind. He was so gentle. And his only concern was helping the animals and educating youth into our environment. He gets no funding. It's all volunteer work. And he does it out of love. I mean, he's an amazing man.
Now, you also look at Esperanza Shelter, food banks, Joy Junction, all sorts of institutions that are helping people. Maybe you could talk about some of those a little bit, because Esperanza is the recipient of whatever benefit comes from this book.
They will get all the benefit from this book. Roadrunner in particular, Joy Junction also. I had no idea when I started this that I would run into, I would see firsthand a lot of the problems. I mean, my goodness, Roadrunner is a huge warehouse in Albuquerque. and they feed thousands every month. And all these people are pretty much destitute. They need food. And if it wasn't for people like Roadrunner, they'd starve.
And Roadrunner is a place also where I spent a little bit of time, and I interviewed some of the people who work there and the people that run it. And they had just purchased this space that was the size of a football field, and they already saw that they were going to run out of space because every single day their needs were increasing. And not only do they have a food bank where they distribute food, they have five or six different programs, one particular which I thought was fascinating, where they have a backpack program because they realized a lot of the children, when they're not in school on the weekends, have no meals. So they send them home with backpacks full of food, which they pack very carefully with things that aren't sharp, with shelf-stable food, so the kids could have things to eat on the weekends, and they return the backpack on Monday, and on Friday they get it again to go home. These are programs I don't think a lot of people know about.
Yeah, exactly. And so well-conceived to actually address the problem
at
hand.
Yes, and most of that is volunteer help. And something I didn't know about them was that they purchase something like I think it was 70 or 80% of the food they have to buy. They get donations, but the needs are so enormous that they go out and purchase their foods. And they have a walk-in that's the size of, like, most people's homes, full of, you know, perishables and non-perishables, and they repack things. The amount of labor involved in getting food out to the people is enormous. And I should also mention that they welcome people to come visit them and tour the facility.
Now, there's also, speaking of nutrition, a picture that really struck me, which is a booth where they're selling deep-fried Twinkies.
Unfortunately, that is a part of the New Mexican diet.
Deep-fried Twinkies, deep-fried Oreos, deep-fried candy bars, and deep-fried cheesecake are all available. Where is this thing?
Yum.
State fairs?
That was a picture taken from the state fair a couple of years ago.
Amazing.
It was amazing.
You can't get that at the food bank, nor should you.
No.
No.
But there's some other things, too. I mean, when you look through this book, it's almost like a state of so many subcultures that really don't interact with each other. I mean, it's a
true
lot of worlds. Like, you've got the Rainbow Gathering, you've got roller derby, you've got the military.
And I think that's one of the things that I think a lot of people who are involved in one of those groups are not aware of the others. I mean, for instance, the roller derby. Roller derby is the fastest growing female sport in America. It's the only full contact sport. And New Mexico has a great roller derby league, and it's an absolutely fantastic way to go spend your time. There's rules. It's not just a free-for-all. It's not like the bad movies. It's an actual sport, and it's so much fun, and there is a whole culture that goes with it.
I know. We've talked about it on this show. I didn't even know it was there until some of the very nice and amazingly athletic ladies came.
Yes.
And
don't mess with them.
Do not mess with roller derby ladies.
Yes.
Ladies and gentlemen. And then, of course, we can't forget the Rainbow Gathering, which is not always, of course, in New Mexico.
Right. Rick, you enjoyed that, didn't you?
That was a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to take some really unique pictures. And I think you would agree that there are three in there that are pretty unique.
Psychedelia lives on, ladies and gentlemen. The book is A Year or So in the Life of New Mexico. Rick Carver and Stacey Pearl with us here on the Radio Cafe. Some of the other things, aliens in Roswell. One sort of mysterious photo that looks like an alien autopsy.
Well, there's lots of rumors floating around about those aliens, and all I can say is if you look at the pictures, a picture's worth 1,000 words, you can believe it or not.
Well, I need 1,000 words.
Rick loves the aliens. And he loves talk about the whole Roswell culture, and it is a great place to take photographs. And the whole town is just so alien crazy. They have developed an entire tourist agenda based on these aliens, and I think it's hysterical. And people from all over the world, my relatives in England said, have you ever been to Roswell?
Right.
So I think, you know, it's sort of, to me, funny. A lot of people, it's quite serious. You know, when you have, you know, and, you know, you have all the conspiracy theorists who just love to go there. And talk about, you know, what is it called, 51?
Area 51.
Area 51.
Which is actually in Nevada.
Right.
About which there's a new book.
Is there?
Yes. I just saw an interview about it on television the other night, and the theory about what Well, we won't get into that right now. Ladies and gentlemen,
but once again, an important part of life in New Mexico is the whole alien agenda.
Right, the alien agenda. Now, there's quite a bit of Native American photographs in here, too, and you have other people writing essays?
Yes. One of my friends, Elena Ortiz, who is married to a Native American and spends a lot of time on the reservation, and her children interact and with all the other Native Americans, and they do the powwow. And she's very knowledgeable, and I thought, well, I should let her write those pieces because she knows what she's talking about. She's an excellent writer, and she was kind enough to write us some piece. And Rick got some really excellent access to some of the powwows and the rodeo, and spent a good deal of time taking those photos, and it was a really good experience, wasn't it?
It was a special occurrence. One thing occurred to me at the beginning of the project was that having Native American pictures in the book were very important to me. And the Navajo Nation is a very large area, including New Mexico.
Right.
So it counted to me to have that included as part of life in New Mexico. That was very special.
Now, you took some of the photographs in the book.
Yes. I took a lot. There were a lot of things that if I hadn't have made arrangements to take the pictures myself, they would not have been included in the book. The section on the USS New Mexico, that would not have occurred had I not made arrangements to go to Norfolk, Virginia for the commissioning.
So the book is called A Year or So in the Life of New Mexico, An Uncensored Look at Life in the Land of Enchantment. Rick Carver is the executive producer. I always think of that as a film thing, but I guess that's really what the job was for this book. And Stacy Pearl wrote almost all the essays in the book. It's available at our local bookstores here in New Mexico.
It will also be available directly through the Esperanza website, and that's probably the best place to get it because the funds go right to them. It is also for sale on our website, which is www.ayearorsonm.com. It could be purchased directly through our website, and we will have it in the local bookstores as soon as it is out to be launched very shortly.
And the Esperanza Shelter's website is esperanzashelter.org. Thank you for being with us on the Radio Cafe.
You're welcome.
Thank you very much.